You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, May 19th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and CTM Baseball's Matt Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. We go 2 hours for you today, up until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Old school fantasy comes your way. Next on the program today, I will try to defend my championship. It is Mike Lyon, two-time defending champion, two-time. We'll see if we can make it happen as we go for number three today. Corey!
Yo.
Good morning, my man.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? I'm feeling pretty good, you know what I'm saying? So I feel good. Yeah.
Okay.
Scott, I didn't watch no sports last night.
Neither did I. It's not true. I watched Yankee last night.
Oh, cool. That's what's up. I finished up my quarterback rankings and auction value, so I got that done. And the rounds, too. So.
Yeah, a lot of work last night done.
So I got, yeah, I got. I washed some clothes. Yes, it was regular. You know what I'm saying?
You guys got the laundry done.
I was the only one that did that, like the folding and stuff.
No, I washed them and then I just threw them on. I'm single, Scott.
Did you get up at 4 a.m. and gratify yourself?
No, I did not this morning. I actually did not. I did not. And before I went to bed.
Scotty, what's going on with you?
That was an inside joke.
How are you, Greg? Good to see you.
It's better about 30 seconds ago.
Yeah. I'm feeling refreshed, pumped, ready to go. Looking forward to going to Citi Field tonight to see Mike Trout's first visit to Queens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's avoided Queens purposely. It makes sense.
I don't blame people.
Don't let
nowadays.
The medical staff look at him.
There you go. Matty Moe. Look at him.
It is Friday. Jose Barrios.
Jose Barrios.
You know, roll the R's, everybody.
Barrios.
I can't do it.
Barrios.
Just looking at his minor league numbers this season and what he's done in two starts, he's just building on that trend. So. Everybody who owns him is happy.
Yes, Jose Barrios is...
Jose Barrios. Can we just do
it with... No, it's not Barrios. Let's say it right.
Make that much of a difference.
Why don't we do things right? It does make a difference. Barrios.
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 There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
We have to do things right, Corey.
No, you're right, Scott.
Yeah.
You're right. I tried.
Like you were saying yesterday, like, you know, why not lay off Mike Florio? If I lay off Mike Florio or I don't show him the right way... I don't do the right thing as an editor. You know what I'm saying?
You're right, Scott. You're right.
I'm not helping.
Well, now you
Mike.
Revealed who it was about yesterday, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that reveal.
Well, he's just one example because he's become a terrific writer.
Well, the good news is,
you hear that? That's the bus rolling over Mike Florio.
Mike Florio,
and it will back up and go over him again.
Oh,
wow. Well, the good news is, folks, Mike Florio is in the building today. So when we come back, should we give Mike Florio an opportunity to defend himself?
Yes, let's do that.
I think that seems fair, right?
Yep.
Defend himself from what?
It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's just getting good. We're just getting started. Damn. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming your way next.
Go Scotty, go Scotty, go Scotty, go Scotty.
Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Why are you putting your finger in my face?
I just want to ask you something. Have you seen the...
you know what song this is?
This is Usher.
What song? What's the name of it?
I forget the name of it, though. But it's very simple. But I wanted to ask you something. Have you seen the movie Hands of Stone, the Roberto Duran movie?
No, uh-uh.
I saw it on Netflix. It was very, very good.
Yeah.
And Usher played Sugar Ray Leonard.
I didn't know that.
And he did a really nice job.
I did know that. Yes.
Okay, that's what's up. Shout out to Usher. Usher,
indeed. Now, you talked about running Mike Florio over.
You
the
don't
bus.
Have to call.
Yeah, you got it.
It's
back.
Okay, girl, 'cause I'm gonna be all right tonight. Sorry.
Well, I didn't know you could sing that well,
Corey. A little bit, you know.
You could sing, I could dance. America, we should be
like a band.
Yeah, right?
And who else can we get?
Well, Frank Stanfield will be the dance. He'll play the
He'll play the music, obviously.
Well, you like Metallica. Matt, maybe you can play some guitar there.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Frank Stanfield was a trumpet player in high school.
I don't think Frank wants you to know.
Corey used to play the flute.
Now, Mike Florio, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Now, I noticed that Scott the King Angle, he just said, quote, "I'll run him over the bus and I'll put it in reverse and do it again."
And the sentence before that, he said, "I'm here to help him."
Mm-hmm. Now, exactly.
How do you defend what you wrote yesterday? This is how it all started, right? It was the fantasy rotation conference. That's what we're talking about, right?
No, I was talking about all my writers, but I'm just saying.
Well, you called out Michael Florio, not us.
No, but I'm saying Mike is like one of many young writers. Like Corey said, why don't you just leave the guy alone? You know, let him do it. And you're like, look, you can't. You can't do something like that. If I really truly care about Mike Florio as a writer and I care about the website, you know, I'm going to say, look, this is the way it's done. That's not the way it's done. Like, we can sit here and talk about, you know, the way we can say certain things and stuff like that.
Sure.
But, you know, when you're writing, you know, I think there's a reason why Roto Experts has won a lot of awards and gotten a lot of partnerships, because we stick to a certain standard. And I joke about Mike, but, you know, I've had him and other guys stick to a standard, you know, that I've learned over the years. And, you know, they've become better writers. You know, some have, I think, even become better than me. You know what I'm saying? So you have to stick to a certain standard. Yesterday, we were having that whole debate yesterday about
staff versus rotation
and running back by committee.
I love it.
And it's interesting because I said to myself, you know, I respect these guys. They disagree with me. Greg and Matt Benica could disagree with me.
I went
and looked it up, and I will honestly say I am wrong on one and I am right on the other.
Oh.
Okay? With the rotation, I am definitely right. There's no such thing as a fantasy rotation because a rotation in its definition is something that is done in regular succession. In fantasy, you don't pick your pitchers in regular succession. You don't say, first this one, then that one, then that one. That's what a rotation is. Now, running back by committee, I always thought there wasn't a two-person committee, but the definition of a committee is a group, and a group is two or more people. So I am wrong on that one. I personally don't like running back by committee because I don't think of a two-person committee, but I'm fundamentally not correct.
Okay.
All right, I guess he gave us one.
Michael Florio, what's your response to this rotation debacle?
It's twofold. One, I guess by the definition, Scott would be correct, and the other, like, I used it in a term where I think everyone who plays fantasy would know what I meant, like in your fantasy pitching staff. But
but that's the issue. Sorry to interrupt you, Mike, but that's the issue, is that a lot of times, like, everybody does it that way. It doesn't make it right, and when you do it the way that it's correct, it kind of makes you stand out more. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as a better writer, you know, as somebody who could be a partner to our site and things like that.
Nice.
Well, how about this? Even our producer to the stars, Danny, who does not play any fantasy baseball, understood what a fantasy rotation meant.
Yeah, but it's because everybody says it, though. But just because everybody says it doesn't make it correct.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody says Eugenio Suarez. It's, you and I know it's Eugenio. Just because something is done by a lot of people doesn't mean it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to writing. When you talk about on the radio, you can say it any way you want, people understand it, but in writing, you know, it's got to be more correct. It looks better, it comes across better when it's correct.
Okay. I'm kind of satisfied with the whole thing.
I'm with you.
Mike, you satisfied with it?
Yeah, that's the way Scott and Roto Experts want it. I mean, I have to comply.
Disgruntled employee.
Well, you know he was fielding offers,
I'm joking,
Scott.
I'm joking.
What?
You know he was fielding offers.
I know yeah. Mike fields a lot of offers.
Yeah.
Loyalty is not one of his strong suits. I said this about this guy this morning, Greg. It's like the first 2 years, he was like the best guy that we had on staff in terms of like being a team player. It was like, I was like, Mike, run across the street through traffic.
He'd
be like,
give me a hot dog.
Give me a hot dog.
No. Give me a hot dog across the street. Run through traffic in Columbus Circle and get me our Rockefeller Center and do it. And he'd be like, okay, sounds good. You know.
Yeah.
And the last year, this guy has become the biggest ball buster on an entire
company. Really? Yeah. What is he doing, huh, but Scott?
How do you really feel about Mike Florio?
Yeah, yeah. What is he doing,
he's
Scott?
Just, he's the... He's a, him and Mike Stanfel always down.
His Frank Stanfel.
Frank Stanfel's a different guy.
What's that?
His name's Frank Stanfel.
Same cat, but like different.
I said Stanfel.
You said Mike Stanfel. As
you know, you're an editor on the air because you correct everything everybody
you
says.
You shouldn't call a dude Mike Stanfel.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Call him Mike Stanfel.
Yes, but you got a brother. You know what? That's a good point though, because Greg does it on the radio. If we say something wrong, he always points it out.
And well, just
you
know, because everybody calls him Frank,
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. But what I'm saying is like Frank Stanfel and Mike Florio are down there all the time, and they are completely like talking crap and like busting balls all the time. But Mike's the leader of it.
Yeah, it was cool to bust balls.
Yeah,
I think Mike Florio is a fantasy phenom. I think if you have any head-to-head questions, direct it right to Mike.
Oh, he's of course on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, which we always talk about the head-to-head, specifically pointlessly 1-2 p.m. Eastern YouTube live on the Fantasy.
And I will throw.
I've actually asked this, and I want to throw this out to the guys. Do you think that the younger generation of fantasy players that play baseball play more head-to-head than rotisserie?
Yes, no, I definitely think so.
There's no question. And I, as the resident young person at this table, like I can tell you, I got into fantasy baseball 15 years ago, let's say, give or take. Probably a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Probably longer than me.
Yeah, so 15-plus years ago, we got into it. Our first league was a rotisserie league, because that's what we were thought we were supposed to do, rotisserie baseball
that's
league.
That's what the founders played.
Right. And you know what it was? It was boring AF, is what
You know
it was.
What AF means, Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was what it was.
Boring as a fart.
Very good.
Yeah.
It was so boring, because, number one, you look at your team, you do it, and like...
Then you just sit back and wait.
So you go to school when you're doing this, right? Like, so we always like hang out in school and at lunch and after school and stuff. And you can't really talk crap about your team because you're not playing anybody. It's like, oh, great. Yeah. Like, great. Miguel Cabrera hit over on. Cool. Like, nobody else cares.
Yeah.
You know?
So, let me ask
it was boring. Yeah. So then the year, and we always played football, of course, head to head. So you're later with baseball head to head, and we haven't turned back.
Let me ask you this then, Corey. Let's be authentic here. Yeah. You know, you've been a critic of fantasy / rotisserie baseball for a long time. You say it's a lot of work. Sometimes it bores you, etc. Yeah. How come you haven't gotten more into playing fantasy head to head then? Because it's more like
When I started playing fantasy baseball in head to head leagues also, and it was cool for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But then it's just like I just didn't do it enough for me. I like the rotisserie style more now. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, I do. I like the rotisserie style more now. I like to have action. I like to draft. You feel? I like to set lineups. I like to look at trades and run fab and stuff like that. I get a kick out of all of that. But the day-to-day interaction of it is kind of like,
Well, I've played one week
like football.
As you guys say, I totally agree. The younger generation does play head-to-head. But as far as season-long roto goes, as just to point out, the NFBC, which usually has about 425 to 430 people sign up for the main event, this season I believe has 520 people. So they increased almost 100 people.
Sure.
So there is still an appetite out there.
It is, especially on the championship circuit.
Is 520 though a large number
on the champion circuit? On a championship circuit, yes.
No, 520. It's a $1,600 entry though. So you have to factor that in.
Yeah. That's what my question was going to be.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice gap.
That's a significant amount of money, obviously. Now, Matt, how many people on that circuit do you know? I mean, give or take, because you don't know all 520 people, I'm sure.
But it's probably...
My question was, how many people split?
I would say probably 25% at least. Okay. Maybe up to a third. But I think a lot of people will play multiple leagues. I mean, in other formats, I mean, I split one with Chris Vaccaro.
Yep. Yep. You
know, there's certain people that I don't mind partnering with. I think I'm an easy partner. I have a team with Vlad Sedler. I have a team with Chris. So, I mean, as long as you can be a partner that's willing to work with somebody and you don't think that you're always right and it has to be your way, then
I'd be happy to work with you. I think we'd be great partners. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll just be like the brains and you'll just be like the source of the money that you put in. I think our partnership would work. Look,
I have no problem being a silent partner if I'm going to win money.
I want you to be the silent and the banker. That'd be cool too. When we come back, let's get into Jose Barrios and some baseball headlines from yesterday. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
him and Mike Stanford.
We went to the tape, and it certainly sounded like he said Mike Stanford.
I said Mike Stanford.
Yeah.
I am going to actually invoke my friend here. Can I make a mistake?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay.
Can I point out that Frank Stanford is like 10th overall in the NFC?
He's moving up. Good job, Frankie, baby.
And he's moving up every day. It's incredible. Yeah. Good job, Frankie, baby. Hopefully he didn't lose Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, I was like 24th. No, I did. Like
yeah. I lost Freddie Freeman, so it's going to be tough, but we'll figure it out. Shout out to him. He's doing wonderful. I'm glad to see that. We was listening to Woot There It Is right now. Do I have a cookout to go to today or something?
I like that. I'd like a nice cookout, to be honest.
You're not looking chopped. I think you're looking too good for a cookout.
Nah, this is the best I could do today. I dug this out the back of the closet.
I got to be honest with you. Out of the four of us, I think you look the best today.
No, I just dug this out the back of the closet.
I actually wore a t-shirt in honor of Greg Sussman.
Nice job, I like that.
When you talk about this, you're watching the Fantasy Sports Network. You'll see. If not, Matt Modica has been wearing the button-down little undershirt every day.
That's the Matt Modica look.
It's not what he can look, as I've been told. Today, he just walks in wearing just a nice Nike t-shirt, and he's like, all right, clearly, he's figured it out. He's figured out this radio thing.
I was going to bring the blue blazer today, but maybe I'll save that for tonight.
You're not looking like Mike Blewett.
It's 90 degrees out.
I used to wear a suit. I worked on Wall Street in the summer. This is one of the benefits
of walking in radio.
Yeah,
you can wear shorts and flip-flops.
Remember, looking good and feeling good go hand in hand.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
We are simulcast, though, so don't wear a tank top.
Hey, Madiga, so when you was on Wall Street, you ain't wear like one of them blue coats?
What do you mean blue coats?
Like, don't they wear like blue coats to do it to be...
Oh, no. I didn't work on the floor. I didn't work for the New York Stock Exchange. Yeah. I worked in the NASDAQ arena.
Yeah.
So we had an office. We had like a trading floor of like 250 people.
Right, yeah. Right.
It was a great time.
Did you like wearing a suit every day?
I think
like dressing to impress.
I actually, if it was up to me, I'd wear a pair of jeans, a button shirt, and a tie. I love ties.
Yeah.
Nobody wears them anymore.
I like ties too.
I think a tie really.
I think you look good in a tie.
Benny Riccardi wears ties.
None of us would dress better than Benny now. Let's not get carried away.
You got a crush on Benny.
Wrapping up a conversation we had yesterday, which I know Scotty brought up. Adam Schefter tweeted this out this morning. Scotty's going to love this. Tom Brady signed an endorsement deal with luxury car manufacturer Aston Martin.
I gotta give credit. Tony was actually the one to come up with that first.
Brady will drive and endorse the DB11, which starts at $211,000. $295,000.
But the comment was made that like they would take Tom Brady over that, and
yes.
LeBron James could sell that car too. I don't see why not.
You're right.
I agree 100%. I think
Brady fits the mold more.
I think it's just
funny
this came out today. I thought the conversation yesterday, and he keeps going.
Yeah, Scott, you won't stop.
Yeah, I leave it alone, Scott. I think there's plenty of people of color that are rocking.
Thank you, Matt Modica.
Aston Martin, Rolls Royces.
I'm not saying they're not, but what I'm saying is I think when you think rich, you think more Tom Brady.
You're thinking of like Grape Pond, old school money.
No, because you know Brady's got a lot of money. Seems to appeal to that. I think LeBron. You know, is like more a wider appeal just to everybody. Like he can appeal to the rich, the middle class, everybody. You know what I'm saying? I agree with you with LeBron. I think he's more universally appearing. He'll never be Jordan, you know, in terms of popularity, but you know he's the most popular athlete.
Well,
right
what
now.
Michael Jordan did was he changed the landscape with those commercials.
Yeah,
Spike Lee.
Everything.
I mean, I'm not a big Spike Lee fan, but those commercials were phenomenal.
Who was the most famous athlete you ever met?
They shot him in my college, by
most
the way.
Most famous athlete I ever met. Probably.
When you say met, like, because I've met Jeter before.
Yeah,
I was in a locker and I met Jeter. Right?
Yeah, I've
does
met
that
Derek,
count? Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Okay,
yeah.
Jeter for me.
I mean, I did carry on a nice conversation with Eric Burns a few years back at the Sky Bar Halloween party. My wife threw this insane party. I got to give her props on that.
Can we get invited?
I was telling him, yeah, sure.
Cool.
And I was telling him, I would really hope you come to the Mets one day.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a perfect fit. He's like, oh, I'd love to play in New York, this and that.
So, what about you, Scotty?
Now he lives in Jersey.
I've been a lot of them, but I would probably say the most popular of all time that I probably met was Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, you met Michael Jordan before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool.
You spoke to him?
When I was working at Madison Square Garden. This was before the arena opened.
Yeah.
And I was just walking, like...
Yeah, you're picking up your programs.
Just walking, getting ready for work.
Yeah.
And, walked in front of that tunnel, where the players come out, and Jordan was just standing there by himself, and, I just had a short conversation with him. He was very nice.
You're not to his wife. I was Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. You know what I'm saying? But
Eli
Manning was not just very popular.
He's pretty famous, though.
He is pretty famous. And LeBron James.
You met LeBron James,
but he was this. You remember when he got suspended from high school because that dude gave him them jerseys?
Yeah.
He sent about a couple games, and the next game he came back. He played in Trenton, New Jersey. Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
I was at that game.
That game, they broadcast it on like MSG.
Yeah, I was at that game.
All right, Let me ask you guys this. I'm going to throw this out to the table. It'll be a little fun. If there was one athlete you could have lunch at Rock and Riley's with, who would it be?
Are they paying?
they're paying.
They have to.
They're paying. Who would it be, Greg?
One athlete. Right. Is he alive, dead, whatever? Just alive, make it alive.
Alive. Make it alive.
One athlete right now.
Yeah.
Like eat lunch with.
Yes.
And talk about our fantasy teams.
Talk about whatever you want.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
Talk about Spike Bowl, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd like it to. I know Jeter's such a bad answer, but
you know what?
Favorite, then why not go with it?
I think I would have to say. I'd have to say Jeter. I'd have to say Jeter, yeah.
Why?
My favorite athlete of all time.
Okay. Corey?
This changes for me. You said since if the person has to be alive,
Ryan Howard.
last year they would have been alive, and I'd have said Muhammad Ali. I think everybody would at some point would have liked to meet the greatest of all time, the GOAT, Muhammad Ali. But right now, I would have to say, honestly speaking, it would be Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick, really? Mm-hmm. Why?
I would want to talk to him.
Just because of everything that he's done.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I'm surprised you didn't say Dez Bryant or Tony Romo. I would have to say for me...
Bryant not interesting.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant, I go to the club with Dez.
Dez's mother, probably.
I would probably have to say, you know, I've met a lot of my favorites. I've met Seaver. I've met Gooden. I've met Bernard King. I've met Jeff Gordon. I would probably have to say Russell Wilson.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Mudika?
Yeah.
Bob Gibson and Messier, I would want to
say Mark Messier for you.
But I would go Wayne Gretzky because he is the most dominant player of all time in any sport, but he just doesn't get the recognition because nobody cares about hockey.
Let me see my hate. Let me see my Twitter starting to be. Oh, there we go.
Let's get some baseball, gentlemen.
Here come the hate.
Let's start.
Ding!
What? With Jose Berríos. He returned 2 starts ago. Really good. And I was asked this question. I'm going to throw it out to the panel in just a moment. But we talked about a question on the Fantasy BFFs. And I think it's worth diving into again. Berríos' line last night, incredible. 7 2/3, 2 hits, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts, a dominating performance in game 2 of the doubleheader against the Rockies team that, you know, can hit him with the best of them. He was just... utter fantastic. This is the Jose Berríos that we thought we would have last year.
Mm-hmm.
Took him a little while, but here he is, dominating performance last night, gentlemen.
Yeah, and the few interesting things about this performance, like last year at Target Field, he was 0-5, and you know, much better at home yesterday. Obviously, he became the youngest pitcher in the majors to strike out 11 this year. And here's something else that MLB Network was talking about, which I found very interesting. Control was a big issue for him last year, Greg.
Yes.
And he said it was because the minor league baseball actually has raised seams, whereas the major league ball doesn't. So it became a grip problem for him.
Okay.
So what he did in the minors this year was he worked his bullpens with the major league baseball instead of the minor league ball.
Nice.
And
nice.
Felt like it really helped him.
That's a great little nugget right there.
That's good. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Also, I want to give credit to you and to Nando, Greg, for fantasy-wise being the first guy saying, like, really pushing the listeners to, like, you know,
get back on board
with
Berríos. That was not me. It's not
yeah, but you were the one on this show, though, who was saying, you know what, I'm taking a shot, whether it's from Nando or whatever, I'm taking a shot.
Yeah, we did.
You were the first one of us that did it.
Before I go into, like, breaking it down and stuff, just on the fab aspect, I don't know if I mentioned it on this show. I know Benny, when I was talking to him, he mentioned it on the award-winning On Target.
And, hosted by Jake
Sunday night in the league that me and Vlad are partners in that we're currently 12th overall in the RotoWire Online Championship.
Nice job.
Vlad put the bid in at 213 for Jose Berrios.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Barrios!
And I said, I'm fine with that. I said, if we need to go a little higher, I'm not opposed to that neither.
Right.
The runner-up bid was $3.
And remember, you said this on Monday morning. You're stunned. And
I wasn't mad, though.
Well, that was the thing. Vlad was like, I'm sorry. And you're like, I wanted him. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are.
So, I mean, that's the thing. And just to go back on that, it was like Tony Sincotta list, August, when he bid $200-something on
Gary Sanchez.
And nobody had the runner-up bid. And I told him, Tony, it doesn't matter. You got your guy. So just when you make bids and people, you know, don't get so bummed out. You want to be very close to winning it, but don't be bummed out. But the thing about Barrios, I'm sorry to cut you off real quick.
No, do your thing.
Ian Desmond was quoted as saying that he looked like Jose Fernandez last night. That's an MLB player.
Yeah, he said
player.
That on Twitter,
That's high praise.
Yeah.
And what he's done now, he's gone back-to-back starts, 7 2/3 innings. But I tweeted out this morning his minor league stats so far after 6 games and his 2 major league starts. The strikeout rate is just under a K per nine. The walks are exactly what you want to see. And that was his thing in the minor leagues. The control was there. And when I look at a pitcher, I mean, this is too small of a sample, 2 starts. But the first 2 stats that can really be telling is the first pitch strike. Because if you get ahead in the count, you have a higher
confidence.
Rate. Confidence and success rate is going to go up. And the swinging strike percentage. Because if you miss bats, that's also going to play.
I look at confidence.
No,
I'm joking.
And I circle that word because he had struggled so much last year, and it just got up all just kind of kept going down the mountain, right? Like he would walk a guy, and hell would go, you know, it would go haywire. Here, he was able to have that success with the first pitch strike, walk one dude. And he was able to stay in his lane and just do his thing. He struck out 11 Rockies last night.
Yeah, and, you know, he had great control last night. His pitches had just a really good movement on it.
And Matt mentioned 2 starts in a row, 7 2/3. They're letting him go deep in the games, right? He threw 106 pitches last night. This isn't a Julio Urias thing where he pulled up to 5 innings, 6 innings. 100 pitches, 2 starts in a row.
Something to really consider is the fact that if you start getting offers on Jose Barrios now.
So.
This is the time when you look. I would sell.
So
I mean, look, I'm not going to sell him for nothing. I'm saying if you get a significant offer for this guy, look how good Luis Severino has been,
mm-hmm.
or Luis, excuse me. But you know, you have to be able to will. I'm not saying you're giving him away. Let's make that point clear. But if a significant player that you would have never got this offer
that can help you
as of 24 hours ago comes in your inbox, you really have. Because first off, let's see how successful this goes over the course of the season. He's still going to have a second half. This is not
two
a
starts,
guy.
Two starts.
In a keeper league, absolutely not. You're not trading. I'm talking redraft.
Yeah, there's a lot of context there because like my first reaction was no, because I thought he was saying go out and shop him. You know, I'm not saying go out and shop him because his value is never going to be higher because, you know, we always knew this potentially what he could be. But to the same point that he's making, because his value is so high, if you really get a nice offer in your inbox, you know, got to consider it.
When we return, I'm going to throw this out for you. We did it on the Best Friends Forever, and the context has changed after last night's start. Rank these 3 players going forward. You think about it during the break. Jose Barrios, Alex Wood, and Justin Verlander. Think it in, man. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. The question has been posed, and it is on you gentlemen to answer. We talked about it on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever earlier this week before Barrios' the second start of this season. But I throw it back out there for you. Jose Barrios, Alex Wood, Justin Verlander. Rank them. Whoever you want, I want you to rank these 3 players for the rest of the season. Matty Moe, we'll start with you.
Good one, you know what? I'm going to take the veteran here. He's been disappointing. The walks are up. The chase rate is down. But I'm gonna for the rest of the season, I'm gonna roll with JV. I think he can figure it out. I want those innings. Alex Wood, somebody asked me on Twitter or something I did, they were like, is Alex Wood this season's James Paxton or Danny Duffy? I believe that is true. Alex Wood, though, doesn't have a career of pitching through full seasons. So scared on that. I think Alex Wood is real, but I'm scared on him holding up for the rest of the season. Barrios, I think is, you know, this is what we were expecting from him, but I'm going to sell if I get the chance. If I get, like I mentioned just before the break, if a significant offer comes, I'm going to sell. I'm going to stick with the veteran here. Might not be the popular choice, but that's how I'm
going
to roll.
So you're going Verlander, Wood, Barrios.
Correct.
Scotty.
I'm not a big Verlander guy. Never have been. Felt like he was in for a decline this year. I'm going to go Barrios. I think, you know, the upside is real. What?
No,
why are you shaking
why
your head?
Why is everybody in here talking Spanish all of a sudden?
That's his name. Okay, all right. You want me to... Me gusta Barrios.
Yes, very good.
Picha es excelente. How's that? I like Barrios, first and foremost. I feel like Wood's always been a good pitcher who was in bad situations in Atlanta.
Now, just you're going that way, so you'll take the American League guy with two starts over Wood pitching at Chavez Ravine.
I haven't made a decision on this yet.
Oh, I thought you said
you said Jose Jose.
I'm saying, oh, okay. I'm already saying Barrios over Verlander.
Okay.
I just love the upside, and I think it's real now with some of the adjustments that he's made and going back to the minors. Obviously, the kid has, you know, has gotten a lot of good help from that organization. Verlander, not a big fan, but you know, I think Wood's been in some bad situations and get more run support. But I like all three of these guys to a degree. I don't like Verlander as much as everybody else. But Wood's always been in and out. I'll probably go Verlander over Wood.
So you're going Barrios?
Verlander over Wood. Yeah.
Just for the record, if we look at Justin Verlander's stats in 2016 at this point in time, and we compare him to this point in time in 2017, I think they're pretty similar.
All right, so I'm gonna go JV at one. Listen, obviously the control is the issue so far this season. But he still has his stuff. His velo is where it needs to be. He's still striking out a batter per inning, and he's not giving
up. Corey's actually giving some really good breakdown here.
The snore.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You don't know the context here. Okay?
I know, but still.
You do not know the context. Hold on. Stop, Modica.
Corey gets crap constantly.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Right. You do not know the context. I use a cliche, you're barking up the wrong tree, Monica, because every time I would give context in the past, just like this, when I would do it, Corey would go.
Well, the fact is, a listener just listening in, like Matt Modica, who doesn't know that, was trying to listen to Corey's analysis.
So
what about when they were listening to my analysis?
Well, I gave the show something 5 years ago.
Probably about 2 months ago.
Velocity's still there. He's not giving up the home run, so that's good. Not to mention the fact also he's striking out a batter per inning. Now, the control for Verlander so far this year has been a problem, but Verlander's a veteran. He can get that under wraps. And then I'm going to go. This is tough right here between Barrios and Alex Wood. Now, Alex Wood is in a situation where we really don't know, but I think the talent wins out and the arm stays in the lineup. So I'm going to go Alex Wood, give Alex Wood the slight edge. Alex Wood has been phenomenal so far this season. He is doing everything correct. And then I will go Barrios. But I do think it's close. But I'm going to give JV the edge as the number one guy, and being mainly because he's the veteran, and I know he can rein in the control.
I'm going to make it 3 out of 4 with Justin Verlander at number one. For most of the reasons both of you guys who put him number one have said, Verlander's got the ERA is up. I understand that. The xFIP is terrible as well. He's even higher than his ERA. But I agree with Corey in that he's still striking out a batter per inning. And I think that's important. Now, the walks are what is concerning. They're way up. Everything 4.5 walks per nine, which is terrible.
That's Salazar territory.
It is. Yeah. But I think Justin Verlander has proven like this is not really what he does. I mean, his walk per nine rate in his career is 2.73. So he's 2 walks ahead of that right now. That's going to come back down, I believe. Justin Verlander has had issues before where he had to figure it out. I think he will. So I'm going to go with the veteran Justin Verlander, number one. Number two, I've kind of gone back and forth of this. I'm going to stick with what I said on the BFFs, which is Jose Barrios second and Alex Wood third. When it comes to Alex Wood, it's not that I don't believe in everything you were saying, Matt, with Chavez Ravine getting an opportunity to be this year's Paxton or this year's Duffy, like coming from the bullpen and really excelling. I'm really concerned about his injury history. He's just seemingly never been able to, not never, because I know he pitched like 190 innings last year, but like seemingly it always winds up biting him again. And with the Dodgers utilizing this 10-day DL like water, like shifting guys in and out, I think we're going to see Wood go in and out. And ultimately, could he wind up in the bullpen? I hope not, but I think it's possible. So, I think,
those are excellent points that I didn't.
Just saying, there's just a lot of question marks with Wood, and I think if Barrios, he's not going to pitch this well at every start, obviously, but I think the Twins will be in a position, you just throw the rotation and you leave him. He pitched, I believe, combined like 170 innings last year, so that's not an issue. I think they're just going to throw him in the rotation, sink or swim, and that has me have Barrios ahead.
So you
Wood.
Don't, you still feel it's not, with Barrios, it's not going to be nothing with the innings. The innings will be there.
I do. Okay. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, because he just really, he came up just recently, so.
Everything you said was, you made very cogent points. But the reason, if it was between the two of Wood like and Berrios,
yes,
I'm going to go with Wood, as I said. Chavez Ravine, Yasmani Grandal is a pitcher's dream.
Absolutely.
As far as framing purposes goes.
Best in the league.
And the other tiebreaker for me is the National League. You do have to worry about Wood's injury history. I don't see him going into the bullpen right now. He's just one of the, you know, after Kershaw, Wood is their best pitcher.
Yeah, and somebody else could get hurt on Los Angeles. It's like, I like Wood too. It's just like with Barrios, I just feel like, you know, the upside is real and here to stay.
Yeah, and I tend to agree, Scott.
And like, and Scott's saying, and he's right, look, everybody who follows like the minors and the prospects, and we've seen this, we've expected this, it's finally come. And this is why, if you get that significant offer, you got to sell now. Even if he's good the rest of the season.
All right, you're saying significant offer. What are we talking here?
J.D. Martinez?
Oh, the Liz Frank scares the hell out of me, but I mean, if I need a hitter, yes, I'd do that in a second.
What about, what pitcher would you make this deal for? Like, obviously, no one's training Clayton Kershaw here for Jose Barrios, right? But like, would you rather have, given the pectoral issue, Carlos Carrasco? You'd make that trade, I assume.
Carrasco, which is, the injury does scare me.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Besides the March, I might take the healthy guy here. It's very close. But if, like we said, Justin Verlander, if somebody's like down on Verlander, as we were saying.
Justin Verlander's a fine answer, yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. You Verlander's like perfect.
That. What if somebody offered you Danny Salazar for Jose Barrios?
I'd rather Barrios.
People like saying buy low on Salazar.
Yeah, I get that. But like, I'm concerned with Salazar too. Like, those, like, the fact with Danny Salazar is I know what he is.
Right.
There is no disputing. I don't think he's ever, personally, I don't think he's going to ever break through and stop walking people. Danny Salazar is a guy that's going to strike out 10 guys over four innings, walk four guys, allow five runs, and that's it. Like, he'll have better starts
than
that.
That's his thing.
But that's his thing.
That's a good looking shirt, Greg.
Thank you very much.
It looks like it's cool too. Like
that's why. What's that? Tana.
Who would you rather have the rest of the way, Severino or Barrios?
So I'd go with Luis Severino there, I think. But I think that's a good one. I think that's close, Matt.
I'll lean Severino.
But I think that's close,
Luis.
Ivan Nova, Jose Barrios.
I'm gonna take Ivan Nova.
Nova.
You didn't see Mike.
It's a tough call right there.
Okay.
I'm not too confident in that one, but I'll say Nova.
When we come back, I want to point out something that you actually tweeted about, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, Matt, and it was about Germán Márquez. And I thought it was really interesting because we always get these Colorado pitchers. You talked about like Senzatella and Germán Márquez. So I want to dive into that for the end of the hour. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Can I kick it?
All right, yes, Matt. I was referencing a tweet that I guess you retweeted from Billy Hayes, right?
Oh, yes. It was a Billy Hayes tweet.
So I want to give Billy Hayes the credit. Why don't you explain what it was?
Hold on one second.
Oh, sorry. I feel like I apologize.
I just had it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Here it is. Germán Márquez is an underrated option at starting pitcher in fantasy. As the great CTN Baseball once said, his skills are better than Senzatella.
Do you still believe that?
Oh, yes. I think his skills are better than him. I mean, the Rockies pitchers, it's tough. Even like a Kyle Freeland, who gets a ton of ground balls, his strikeouts minus walks is like one of the worst in baseball. So it's a tough line to live on. I mean, out of those pitchers, out of Freeland, Sensatella, and Herman, I will take Herman.
Yeah, Marquez had some really good numbers in the minors, especially in 2014, 2015. It's not that the strikeouts per inning were necessarily high, but good ERAs, impressive FIPs, you know, in the minor leagues. But, you know, like you guys were alluding to, though, with a Colorado pitcher, it's not just like you can say, okay, leave him in there every week. You got to look at the matchups. Anytime any of them are pitching at home, it's very dangerous.
Like I've said when it comes to John Gray, who there's a report that he could be back sometime next month. I don't want to deal with these guys. Marquez, Sensatella, Freeland, Gray, I don't care.
Don't you have Freeland?
No. I had him one start. I made a mistake. Like, I bought in stupidly. And I get, like, I just think there's so many other starters in the major leagues. I don't need
to
do
this.
Well,
you don't have to deal with the potential minefield, of course.
Like, correct. Like, I talked about Cody Glover, and I wound up picking him out of desperation. And I admitted that, and whatever. I promise you, the rest of this season, I promise to you, King, I will not pick up a Colorado pitcher.
And there's already a report out there from FanRag last night about how the Nationals are now... They're talking internally about six veteran closer candidates, including Osuna, Herrera, Robertson, Melanson,
Ramos,
Colome. And we talk about, and AJ Ramos, we talk about anticipation and anticipating what these closers are going to be next. You have to identify whoever these guys are going to be traded. You know, you may want to scoop up a Kyle Barraclough, a Brad Boxberger, a Joachim Soria, you know, because they could close next.
100%.
Especially in a 15-team league or a mono league.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... I don't think it's Robertson, like I've been saying. I mean, I like a guy like Adam Ottavino. I don't see the Rockies doing it now because their bullpen has been so great. And Holland, as wonderful as he's been, can he hold up the whole season?
Yeah, but the thing with like a guy like Ottavino, though, is he's got no proven track record as a closer over a long period of time. If you're Washington, I think you want to get somebody who's a little more proven.
I agree with that, but even though Robinson's proven, I wouldn't feel confident going into the playoffs with him as my
like
closer.
If you get
but
Melanson,
even like
you know,
even like Colome, who I like a ton, he's really not. He's had what 1 year? I mean, Herrera as
that's
a closer,
still more than Ottavino though.
But I'm Ottavino, you know, is a pretty damn good pitcher.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is though is like he hasn't been in that role.
No, but
Colome's already proven.
Okay, but
in
what
that
I'm
role.
Trying to say is Herrera, Colome, Ottavino. None of these guys as closers have really long proven track record.
Right. They can get a Melanson or you have somebody like that. Or you know, we're talking about a Tony this morning. Why would the Giants like trade Melanson? They just signed him to a big deal, but they could be sellers at the deadline too.
Well, the fact is, I questioned you about that because you brought that up a couple weeks ago again, and I questioned you, why would they do that? They just signed him. But the fact is, the Giants may realize, listen, we got to retool this entire thing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Get out of the contract they just bought and move on.
Listen to John Shea, RotoX on demand of, you know, about this whole thing. He's a beat reporter for the Giants. Roto Experts at the Park.
There you go. When we return, I do want to get into Danny Duffy's start last night, as well as Julio Teheran blowing up again. Is it time to be concerned and sell Julio Teheran? Stick around. We break it down and a whole lot more. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two here in the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica, CTM Baseball, and the King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. We go one more hour with you. Old School Fantasy is up next. The OGs get you ready for the weekend like only they know how. I want to get into now the decimation of Julio Teheran. He pitched three innings last night. 8 hits, 9 runs allowed to a Blue Jays team that Mike Foltynewicz was able to keep at bay. Now, the splits thus far for good old Julio Teheran, not great. Not great. In fact, The home ERA this year, 10.5 for Tehran. Now, away, it's under 1. But I feel like that's probably skewed as well. Again,
they did two
starts at Citi Field,
though. I'm sorry?
Two starts at Citi Field.
That's why it's skewed. He faces the Mets. Skewed, he faces the Mets. Yes, basically the same amount of innings. He's just been much better away from Atlanta. But that 10.5 ERA would scare the crap out of me.
Well, it's still bad, but you made it sound like Fulton Evans is not a good pitcher. You know, he is a pretty good pitcher.
He's not Julio Tehran.
No, he's not, but you're saying, you know, like Fulton Evans had no trouble with them. He's a pretty good pitcher. Toronto's supposed to be a lot better.
Yeah.
I get it. You know the home ERA, and just like, it's really, really bad. We've never seen anything like this from Tehran in his whole career.
Well, really, I guess my question was, well, it's a two-part question. Number one, are we concerned about Julio Tehran? Number two, how concerned are we about, I guess, pitchers in Atlanta? So, Matt, let's take it away.
Twofold. I mean, the thing that pops out with Julio Tehran, if you just look at his page, is the walks. He is known for his control, and he's got, like, him and Justin Verlander-esque walk rate right now. Danny Salazar walk rate right now. He can't survive like that.
Only walked one guy last night, though.
Yeah, okay, that was last night, but over the season, that's been his bugaboo. That's what really stands out. The swinging strike percentage is down a couple of points, which is something to look at because that's down. The chase rate's down a little. So when people aren't chasing after his pitches and he's not getting some swing and misses and he's walking guys, it's just going to make things difficult. Atlanta is starting to become a scary place, so you have to be concerned. You can't sell him because right now, who's going to buy him for that price?
Yeah, and you know, you look at Julio Tehran, and you know, in the past, like at the great point about the ballpark, because you know that was a pitcher's park. You know, but right now, the way he's pitching, he's a danger to get bombed anywhere. But this Blue Jays offense has started to pick things up recently too.
Julio Tehran's K per 9 Corey is the lowest of his career right now.
And his velocity is down. He's giving up the long ball, and he's walking people. He sucks.
Correct.
It's nothing that I don't.
Can you drop Julio Tehran?
No, I'm not going to drop
him. Just told me he sucks.
He does suck.
That was a direct quote.
Yeah, no, I don't get frisky with me. But he sucks, but I don't think you can drop him, but you be very careful with him. I guess playing him against the Mets.
You reserve him?
I think he needs to be reserved.
All this Met talk, the Mets got a pretty, they're off it. They do hit. They have the worst ERA in baseball, but they do hit.
Touch a sore spot.
Red Eye Fish in the Morning continues right after this. In the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Julio Tehran breaking it down. Tehran. He reserving. We all agree reserving at this moment. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tehran did that last night while Marcus Stroman, 5 2/3, 7 hits, 1 walk, struck out 6, and hit a home run last night.
He was telling them dudes, like, y'all think I'm joking, but I can hit.
Yeah, we saw it last week. They brought him in as a pinch hitter, and he doubled.
Yeah.
That was the first time, only the second time in Blue Jays history that pitchers hit a home run. The last time was in 2003.
Marcus Stroman carry a big stick.
So basically, he called the shot, you're saying.
He called the shot, yes.
There you go. Jose Bautista, you mentioned it before, gets hit. In the ribs, right?
Yeah, his thigh.
Okay.
They hit him.
He was in first base with no problem.
No problem. Then Buster Olney tweets. He says the unwritten rules of baseball are, you know, what's going on here, because you hit the guy, you put him on base. It started a 3-run inning, and then Matt and I were having an interesting off-air conversation about that. Like, you know, Matt's take is like, you know, okay, come on, you know, man up. These are the rules, but at the same time, I think there's a point in the game, you know, if you got a tie game, you know, don't put somebody on base. If it's 8-2, though, go ahead and plunk the guy.
I did agree. If it's a scoreless game, I'm not saying go out there and hit somebody. Never throw at anybody's head as well.
Right. Yeah. So my take is like, listen, you don't know. I believe that was last game of the series. It was yesterday.
Yeah, 4-game series.
Exactly. And I think that you don't know what the game's going to be, right? So to me, you just hit them and you move on. That's what they did. And they hit him in the thigh, and he moved on. And that was it.
That was it.
But it also started a three-run inning, though.
Well, you can get the other guys out.
Yeah, well, exactly. The thing about it, put him on, you know what I'm saying? He deserved it. He got it.
And he went to first base.
You say gets the other guys out, though. You know, what if there's like...
Scott, they're the Braves. They suck, Scott. No, they're not going nowhere.
You put him on, but in any given day, a team can score runs. Because what if you put him on, right? Scenario here for you. You put him on, guy comes up, and then you get next runner on, then you hit a three-run homer, and you lose by one, right? You look back at that, it can come back to burn you.
It can come back to burn you, but also, like, you stuck up for your team, and that was it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't stick up for your team.
But you don't know.
But when it's 0-0,
you don't know.
You don't put a guy on base.
What if it's 1-0 all game? Then you're never going to hit him?
No, do it the next game.
You don't have the next game.
They don't play anymore. They would play the next time they would play. Well, Scott would be in the World Series.
You know what? I think you want to win the game more than you want to send a message.
Nah, I'd rather send a message.
But hitting one guy, you can get everybody else out.
But if you don't and you lose by one run or you end up tied, you know, I don't agree with it.
But again, you could also you talk about the hitting, right? Like, you can also score runs. They scored none.
But if you don't and you look back on that one thing and say, okay, but we sent a message and we lost the game.
You have to score to win. Zero.
It led to a three-run inning.
Fine, but they still didn't score any runs.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's like you're putting an extra possible run on the bases.
I understand. My philosophy was you hit him and you move on. And this is what
I agree with that.
This is what we talk about with the Red Sox, right? Like, if they would have just threw at Manny Machado in... Or Manny Machado, right? Was it Manny Machado? Mm-hmm. They just threw at his thigh instead of at his head.
They'd have been done.
It would have been over.
The whole thing went on. And
he could have just walked first base, well, just like Jose Bautista did.
Even after they threw at his head, they kept throwing at him.
The whole thing went on and on and on.
That's why I was all for Manny after that. I was like, you know what?
And if they would have just started. Buck Showalter said, you know, they're going to keep throwing at him. He's going to hit 100 home runs.
If they would have just thrown at a thigh, it would have been over. That would have been the important thing. I also read, you mentioned Buster Olney tweet a couple moments ago. Buster Olney also tweeted that Earl Weaver didn't believe in retaliation. And that he only...
What the hell Earl Weaver got to do with this?
I'm going to explain.
Oh, okay.
So Earl Weaver's a very, of course, famous manager who was a very fiery dude. And they only hit like four guys in retaliation like the entire time that Earl Weaver was manager.
How many years was he manager?
They won, you know, four World Series. I don't think there's any correlation to that. I just thought it was interesting given Earl Weaver's personality.
I think that's Buster Olney trying to like prove his point and stuff.
I agree with you. I don't like that one. All right. So that was the Braves and that was Julio Teheran.
Thank you.
Let's get into Danny Duffy as well. Duffy... led the Royals to a 5-1 victory over the Yankees last night. Duffy, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, 3 hits, 2 walks. Worked around in some trouble in a couple of innings, but overall, just a fantastic start for Danny Duffy. Jordan Montgomery was bit by the long ball. The big blast was a Mike Moustakas 3-run bomb in the 5th inning. Danny Duffy, Matt Modica, now has a 2.97 ERA on the year. He started off, you know, a little shaky. His last 3 starts have been absolutely tremendous. What do we think right now of Danny Duffy?
I was asked this question the other day by somebody in the industry. They had an opinion on Duffy. They asked for mine. And I told them before yesterday's start. I said, look, I like him, but I honestly can't give a confident diagnosis on him right now, because last season he came out of the bullpen, he changed his delivery, everything looked good. I expected the K's to be there this season. They have not. But this is a talented arm. The one thing that's concerning me is if you look to the xFIP, I mean, the ERA is 297, the FIP is just over 3. The xFIP is 444, because right now he currently has a 3.2 home run to fly ball percentage.
And Duffy did what an ace is supposed to do last night. You know, he stopped the losing streak. And you know, the Ks per 9 are down. Here's something with Duffy, too, though. It's like we talked about there were some bumpy starts, et cetera, and he's recently come around. All of a sudden, he's throwing a slider that he's never thrown before. I mean, in the past, he never threw a slider more than 2% of the time. Now he's throwing it 28.4% of the time. So he's obviously adjusting the things. You know, he's throwing the four-seam fastball.
He needs to learn how to control it.
No, well, what he is doing in his game when we talk about the pitch mix is the fastball has decreased as far as percentage-wise. The slider's up to almost 30% this season from, I think it was like 23.5% last year. And the changeup is also up to just over 23%. So he's mixing in the secondary stuff a lot more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like him. I believed in him into the season. The thing that was concerning was the lack of chase. The swing and strike rate is there. The first pitch strike rate is there as well. Same as last season. But the thing that was concerning is the velocity in a year where everybody's velocity is up, his is down almost 2 points.
See, yeah, this guy, Duffy.
The K per nine is down from 9.42 to 7.02.
He's just a guy. He's just a guy. He's an arm. You throw him out there, get a couple in, and send him down, sit down, throw him in out there next week. He's just a guy.
I think he's better than the Jag.
I don't see it. The numbers don't say that.
2.97 ERA doesn't in the American League doesn't say better than just a guy.
He's more than just a guy for me. As yeah. Well.
How's he not just a guy? But
2.97 ERA in the American League.
Well, you know he had a couple of
His last few starts have been awesome.
I love it.
Against the White Sox, the no-hitting White Sox.
Yeah, but we say this in football, though. You're supposed to do that against a team like that.
I don't know. I think he's a Jag. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Now, listen, y'all know more about this stuff than I do, but I'm looking at his numbers, and this says a Jag to me.
How is a 2.97 ERA in the American League a Jag?
He doesn't strike nobody out, right? He's not a strikeout artist, and he's walking people. Don't get me wrong. The velocity is at 93. Okay, we like that, but that's not elite.
2.97 walks per nine?
But you do like...
very high, right?
I think the thing that would scare me... I do like Duffy. I understand you don't. I do like him, but the home park does suppress home runs, so that's a good thing. But that 3.2% home run, the fly ball percentage, that's why I'm pointing out the FIP. That's one of the reasons. I kind of like ex-FIP better than FIP because I think it kind of tells a truer story. So, I mean, the FIP, he's in line with his ERA. But, I mean, it's a 3.2 home run percentage. That's not going to last in the American League.
No, with the decreased velocity and the decreased K per nine, that is the one danger.
100%.
But I think he's trying to change himself as a pitcher. It's obvious, mm-hmm. and he's evolving. And he got good results last night against a very good offense.
Absolutely, you know he could be changing himself, as Scotty alluded to. Oh, we'll see. I think
he's a guy for the right price. I'd be buying right now.
I agree with that. But I think again, given what he's done his last few games, I don't know how quick his orders are to sell.
Well, I think like we mentioned before, for fantasy purposes, people are going to look at that K9 percentage rate, right? And they're going to say, well, you know what? He's not getting the strikeouts. Let me sell now.
Sure. Okay. The Yankees last night, the hot-headed Yankees, as you referred to, Corey, just didn't do all that much. In all honesty, you know, Ellsbury was 2-for-4, and Aaron Judge went 2-for-4, but nothing really going on. Mike Moustakas is his 10th homer of the year, 257, 290. Corey, do you think Mike Moustakas finishes the year in Kansas City?
Does Mike Moustakas finish the year in Kansas City? That's a good question right there. Yes.
Okay. So they're having a discussion last night during the Yankee Royal game in that do they trade these guys away?
Hosmer,
Moustakas, Escobar, Carrera, Kane, all of them, because they're all free agents. Do they trade them all away? Do we let the contract expire and offer qualifying offers, even though with the new qualifying offer rules where basically you have to be get a $50 million contract or more in order to get a qualifying draft pick? Or do you just let him go? Like, what do you do? I think it's something interesting to watch with the Royals throughout the rest of the season. We'll come back and talk more baseball. Is Mike Lyon coming up in just 20 minutes from now? Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning. Right away next. We're back here. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Of course, simulcasting live on the Fantasy Sports Network. Hey. Talked a lot about pitcher performances over the last night. I need to get to Amir Garrett.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Did you have matchups yesterday, Corey?
Yep.
I feel like things haven't gone great in Tout Wars for you this week.
That's a rough week.
A couple weeks back when he got sent down, after he had that really good start, mm-hmm. we said, like, you know, if he pitched 3.50 ERA rest of the season, that'd be fantastic. Sure. So, I mean, we kind of had... It was not an easy task for him yesterday.
It was a tough spot for him to come back. Yeah, like, everybody said he was ready because, like, he just, like, faced, like, six batters in a minor league game and, like, struck all of them out. So we thought he was ready to come back. But it was a tough task because the Cubs are starting to pick it up again lately.
Amir Garrett the full line for him yesterday in his return to the majors. 4 innings, 5 hits, 6 runs. He walked 4. He struck out 5. It was a tough matchup. It was a tough ask for Miguel Garrett in his first start back. He allowed 5 runs in the first, including the big Javier Baez grand slam. He also walked in a run, which always bothers me. But if you want to be on the sunnier side of things, besides that, he only allowed a solo homer to Chris Bryant. And that, of course, came in the fourth. He struck out 5 guys when it was all said and done. Was this
bad? It wasn't horrific. Here's the thing. You got to be selective with the starts. You know what I'm saying? That's it. You have to be selective with the starts, the way he's playing at, where he's pitching, who's he going up against. If he sticks in the rotation, just be kind of selective with how you use him. I think his next game would be against the Indians, another difficult task. He's likely to be on your bench that day.
But, you know, I don't think it's a good start. I don't think there is any positive. He gave up a solo run. He also gave up a grand slam. He gave up 2 home runs, you know. But, you know, we've seen better from this guy. I mean, you look at the overall numbers. ERA of 5.18 and a FIP 5.49. He got blown up yesterday. You know, that's not reflective. 7.43 Ks per nine, you know, that's not exactly what you want to see. So, you know, a blow up once in a while is not going to, you know, shock me like this. Still a young pitcher, too.
Well, would say Amir Garrett, and I'll use another guy, Jason Vargas, prior to his start against the Yankees.
Yep.
Last week we talked, and I said, rest of the season, if Jason Vargas can pitch to his ex-FIP, which was 371,
yep,
I'd be ecstatic. Yeah, and that you have to have the right expectations in line for your pitchers. You can't get drunk on a couple of good starts. And look based on their career stuff. Look based on career BABIP. See what their BABIP is now, which their career BABIP. Don't worry about so much the major league. As long as these guys have a track record, go to their stats.
And to his point, it's like you can't look at Amir Garrett and say, okay, he was as stellar as he looked early, and he's not as bad as he looked yesterday either.
Exactly.
It's somewhere in the middle.
Hysteria is, you know, the fantasy owners practice hysteria, you know what I mean? So, but no, you just got to be careful with him. You feel what I'm saying? He's tremendous upside, but you just got to temper your expectations right now.
All right, fair enough. And so, are you reserving him? Are you starting him? Where are we there?
I think I look at the matchups and see where he is. I think he's a streamer. I don't know if he has tremendous upside, but he can be a really serviceable fantasy pitcher.
Okay. I know he's a 2-start pitcher next week.
Who does he have?
I was trying to load it as I was building.
Okay. One of them is against Cleveland.
Well, I'll agree with Scott. As in a 12-team league, he's a stream option.
Okay.
In a 15-team, that's obviously different.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went and got this damn Tanner Roark in a trade.
We like the trade.
Yeah, well, I don't like the results.
Who'd you trade for him?
Adam Duvall.
Adam Duvall.
Corey, I think rest of the season.
I think it'll normalize. Exactly.
It's so tough with pitchers.
Hard yesterday. Bad day for you, unfortunately.
It's tough when you trade for pitchers because they pitch that once every 5th day, so you're so keyed on their result. But, you know. I think over the course of the season, you're going to win that one.
I don't worry. Rizzo will start hitting for me, and then Dexter Fowler will start to heat up. You know what I'm saying? And then I'll start to pull it together. I'm going to need to make some more.
We haven't seen the best of Rizzo this season.
Yeah, no doubt.
Which is like average, like 211, and his BABIP's like 202. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
Amir Garrett's first start is Cleveland, home against Cleveland. I don't want him for that start.
Which is other stuff, just out of curiosity.
Hold on, please.
You know, when you say that, it means he's going to go out and dominate, right?
Of course. Yeah. I know he's going to be a beast next week.
Yeah.
You think so?
I can't. All right, this is how these things happen,
Greg. I might
be
shocked to see two starts in a row where he gets shelled, because I think you could see something where it's kind of like a middle in the road, like 6 innings, 4 runs, you know, something like that.
In a 15-team league where, you know, if my pitching's desperate, you know, I don't have that many options, I'm starting him.
Cleveland and Philly are the starts next week for Miguel Garrett.
Philly's a tough ballpark.
Well, I mean, what are your options? Say if you didn't start Amir Garrett, who?
Let me go to some. I don't really think I have many options, to be honest with you.
Well, that's always the thing.
All these dudes is hurt. You know what I mean? I'm not going to start.
It's kind of hard to bench Amir Garrett in a 2-start week, though.
Unless Hamels or Gray come back next week, he going to be in the rotation.
In
my fantasy staff. I'm sorry, Scott. Please forgive me, Your Royal Highness.
No.
Blah. And the camera didn't see that.
They definitely did. None to see.
John Lester, 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 5 strikeouts for the Cubbies yesterday. We mentioned Javier Baez. His grand slam was the 6th home run of the year for Baez. 248.
Wait, he has 6 grand slams this year?
6 home runs.
Oh, wow. It's a record.
6 home runs this year. Is Javier...
And Lester at a shot, yeah.
Lester what?
Did Lester hit a home run?
He did not.
No, he didn't. He had an RBI off the wall.
Javier Baez, my question is, Matt, if you drafted Javier Baez, are you happy with what you're getting?
No, you want more production. You want a better batting average. I don't know if that's really going to happen. I think he's more of the 250, 260. What you want from him at the end of the season is somewhere in that 15 to 20 homers, 15 to 20 stolen bases. And I think if he does get the at-bats, he can accomplish that. And if he pulls up a 260 average, yeah, I'm fine. But the thing with Javi Baez is he is going to be maddening. He is going to look like an MVP at times, and he's going to look like one of the worst players at times. So you got to understand it's a Jekyll and Hyde player.
I look at Baez, and he's got the power. It's the average and the OBP that obviously bother me. It's where he hits in the lineup that bothers me. I drafted Ben Zobrist, and as you guys know, and the one thing with him, at least his OBP is 100 points higher than the average. Like, I think he's getting on base still. And when you get on base, like, you can still do stuff. Baez doesn't get on base enough, to, in my opinion, Scott, to justify where he's been drafted at this moment.
At this moment. At but, this you moment. Know, there's still a lot of season left here. I think where exactly did you draft him?
I didn't draft Javier Baez.
What was his ADP?
His ADP was around in the his ADP was 128, right?
Right.
So he was going off the board around shortstop 15.
Yeah.
15. Well, you know what though? Range.
It's still a lot of season left.
Yeah, of course.
You are getting the counting numbers. He's on pace for over 20 homers. He's got just under 20 RBI so far.
And he's getting hot now. His bat is heating up.
Yeah, he might end up hitting 260. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, hit 270.
I think it might be a little of a stretch.
Like I said, he's going to be a maddening player.
He's going to, exactly.
There's times he's going to look fantastic.
There's some guys I look at and I say they're not going to hit 270.
Sort of like, you know, when you have like a crush on a young lady, sometimes she looks... fantastic, and other days maybe not the best, but you still like her. You feel what I mean?
Right.
So you kind of off and on, back and forth with her, and then sometimes she come to work and tell you something crazy to blow your mind.
Well, yeah. Just the other thing with Baez is the position eligibility that you're getting with him, and that power. That's pretty nice.
It is,
and he's
it
got
is.
Speed too.
And you know what? You talk about the lineup. It's like just to be in that Cubs lineup, no matter where you are, is something.
And they really haven't come together yet.
No.
Hyunjin Ryu yesterday had his best start of the season, obviously, just like we all predicted. He was 5 1/3, 7 hits, 2 runs. He strikes out 3. Only goes 5 1/3. Pitches, 79 pitches. Scott, you're shaking your head. How come?
You know why? Because this guy scares the crap out of me as much as, like, you know, he gets injured. And Ryu hit a double yesterday. And I could have sworn when I saw him running to second base that he almost pulled up lame. It's like this guy scares the crap out of me with his injuries.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Ryu guy, so...
I like him when he's healthy, but he's never healthy. And I think that affects his overall production, too.
I just can't get too crazy.
You look at the Dodgers. Adrian Gonzalez came back yesterday, had an RBI. Justin Turner left this game with a hamstring injury. Logan Forsythe could be back Sunday, and Maeda could be back next Wednesday or Thursday.
Interesting. Javi Baez, right quick with Javi back to Baez. He wear one of the things
on
his face.
Yeah, I think that's going to become like mandatory.
I think, I was going to say.
Staten has that.
That's what I was going to say. Fowler. I think that that little face protector should be mandatory.
Yeah.
You don't have a pretty broken face.
No, of course not. Eddie Volquez, 6 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs. This has been a disaster.
The Marlins, all in six.
The Marlins, hard to get a date. The Marlins rotation is a straight disaster. We've talked with David Phillips yesterday. He could start as soon as this weekend.
Nicolino's going to start today. And will Nicolino strike out like one guy?
Your boy Justin Bour hit his 9th homer of the year, though.
Yeah, he's on fire. He's over the last week, he's absolutely ripping up. 4 home runs, hitting over 500 in the last week. Streak, which means in 2 weeks for a full week, he's going to hit a 111 with no home runs.
Your boy Justin Bourne home run, and your boy Yasiel Puig did.
Yay.
450 feet.
400, that's far. It's a far home run.
That's a big fly.
Hardest StatCast homers or something.
Was it?
Like I don't know. I saw something.
StatCast era is so new. Like every night is like it's a new StatCast
record. Stat.
Yo, Florio got on the Yasiel Puig jersey today.
Because he promised during the BFFs he'd wear it. And
yeah.
By the way,
got his hair all slick to the side. He think he fly.
By the way, Mike Florio is coming next with Is Mike better. Lyon. But before we get there, I do want to make one last note here on the Seattle Mariners, and they win this game. By a score of 5-4, the bullpen tried to blow it in the 7th and the 8th. They don't. Seattle wins it in the bottom of the 9th. Do we make anything, gentlemen, that it was Nick Vincent on at the top of the 9th in a tie ball game at home?
Yes, we do. This could be a committee situation.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, committee. Yeah.
I'm going to drop Tony Zick, by the way.
No, I would be... Don't, not yet, Greg. Be patient.
Yeah. Why? He hasn't pitched in 4 days!
He had a one-out save. Yeah, that's it. Great. I'm agreeing with you.
Whatever.
I agreed with you.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. I'm going to beat you now because of that. It's Mike Lyon next here on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Pop Lock to Scotty. Pop Lock.
Thanks to my friends.
Scotty love Pop Locking.
This is fantastic. You'll love this. Antonio Cromartie currently has more children than Blake Bortles has wins.
That's crazy. That's
Antonio
wild
Cromartie,
right there.
The father of our country.
Yes.
That's
a good one, Scott.
Baby daddy, Antonio Cromartie. Scott called me a slur in the break. I just want y'all to know.
What are you talking about? Corey, stop making stuff up. That's not good.
I took it in stride, though.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm telling Cardano.
Mike Florio, good morning.
Can't spell smart.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I don't think I'm having as much fun as you guys are during the break.
It's really just these two guys.
Yeah, it's always me and Scotty.
Yeah. Hey, I believe we have a brand new week, but still the same champion, Mike Florio.
The reigning, defending. You like that?
Keep going.
What does he say after that?
Reigning, defending, undisputed champion of the world. It's me.
Sauce
Mania. It comes a lot better sounding from you than from Florio.
I agree with that.
The reigning, defending, I don't
know.
Yo,
Scott, you just keep hating.
Make the questions hard for Scott. Mm-hmm. And Scott, I could make you go first.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to, though. Instead, I will make Matt Modica go first once again.
All right, let's go. It's Mike Lyon. I'm ready to take down this crown.
Here we go. Start the music. Let's do it.
Bryce Harper leads all qualified hitters in batting average.
False.
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 I don't want to differ quite yet. I'll say false.
It is false.
Okay.
He is fourth.
Ooh, three players ahead of him, and Matt Modica is the first. Opportunity.
Ryan Zimmerman.
That is one of them. He is third. Point for Matt.
Gene Segura.
The enjoyment that Mike Florio just got out of that buzzer was worth everything.
So Gene Segura is fifth, actually.
Wow!
Biggest ball buster in the company.
Right there.
All right, here we go. I was going to say Ryan Zimmerman.
He's already said that.
He's already said that, so that's one off the board already. Freddie Freeman.
No, Freddie Freeman is 10.
Oh, that's good. I was going to say Freddie Freeman. So that's good. All right.
These final two players are not on the DL.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know.
Appreciate that. Appreciate the help there. All right. The highest... Why are you confused, Scott?
He said that the highest batting average?
Yes.
Doesn't Gene Segura, like, lead the majors in batting average?
He's fifth.
He's fifth. That's my fifth.
Okay. Heading into last night, he was.
He leads the American League.
Oh, I love these clips. Okay. I'm just going to keep shutting up and just let Florio.
Yeah, Florio's giving, like, way
too many. Let Florio keep going. This is great.
My bad.
No, relax.
All right, Craig, we need a guess.
All right, you need a guess. All right. Leading the league in average, it's probably... Ooh, could be him too. I'm between two guys now. Shoot. Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, that's a good one. Paul Goldschmidt.
I should go, right?
Yeah, I'll go around again.
A little bit out the list.
I hope you don't say my guy.
Justin Turner.
He is number one.
Oh, my God.
He got two.
He's rolling.
I shouldn't have given him that. Scott.
Mike Trout.
No.
John Segura is in fifth.
Leading the American
League. He leads the American League. That means player in front is in the National League.
Mike Trout's playing at City Field tonight, so.
Florio said he's going early to watch Mike Trout.
Yeah, he wants to see batting practice.
He's like a 10-year-old boy. He's a 10-year-old boy with his glove, right?
He's bringing his glove with him.
Give me an answer, please.
Matt Kemp.
No.
That's a good one, though.
All right, I'll go with Aaron Altair.
No.
Nice guess.
The number two in baseball.
This does not count for a point, by the way.
No, it's over, man.
Well, you can't get a whole point. You can say it.
It's Buster Posey.
Wow.
Nice
Matty job. Matty Moe would have took down all Matt four.
Coming back strong today.
Matty with three. The rest of us with one. Things aren't going great for the panel here. Scott Angle, question number two.
Le'Veon Bell had 20 or more touches in every game that he played last year.
False.
Lev Bell had 20 or more touches in every game he played last season. 20 or more touches in every game. Did he take a game off? He didn't leave no game last year.
What's the games he played in?
True.
Does this count playoff games?
No. Regular season only.
Then true.
I'm going to say true as well.
Scotty's the only one who said false?
Yes.
Scotty gets the point.
Wow.
He had one game against the Dolphins where he had 10 rushing attempts, six catches. Every other game, 20 or more.
3 points for Matt, 2 points for Scotty, one apiece for Corey and myself. As we head to question number three.
Irving Santana has the highest strand rate of all qualified starters.
Who's this for?
It's Corey.
This is false.
I believe it's false.
False.
True.
Scotty went against the grain.
He does.
And it didn't work out.
It did not pay off for Scott Angle.
How many times have we heard? Can you come up with another phrase? How many times do we hear that every week?
Irving Santana is in my fantasy rotation.
Let's go, Florio. Nice job.
Yeah. That will get X down on Roto Experts.
Not
as will you if you keep it up.
This man's job? All right,
management humor.
Florio, how many people are ahead of Irv?
One.
One guy. Can you name him? Corey Parsons.
So one guy's ahead of Irving Santana. Strand rate. Alex Wood.
No.
Jason Vargas.
No.
Gio Gonzalez.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? What, did you study Fangraphs last night? Oh my God. All right. 5 points. 5 points for Matt. 2 for the rest of us. As we move on to question number 4.
According to Snapple Facts.
Oh, thank God.
An apple was the first fruit ever eaten on the moon.
Oh, that sounds true. True.
Corey, you're the fruit expert. Go ahead.
It's Madiga turn, though, right?
Matt?
True.
Scott, it's your turn.
Say true.
I'm going to go false.
Point for the executive.
Yeah. I knew it! See, I was right. Yeah.
You were not right. You said false.
No, I said he was the expert on this.
Do you guys want to guess the fruit?
No.
I'm going to stay away from it.
It was a peach.
Oh, okay.
All right. So
I love Georgia peaches.
5 for Modica, 2 for Scott, 3 for Corey, and 2 for myself. Question number 5. This is Matt Modica's.
Robbie Ray leads the National League in Ks per 9.
Ks per 9. I know he's like 5th in K percentage, but Ks per 9, the National League, I will say false.
I will say false.
I'm also going to go false.
I will say false, sure.
It's false.
Yeah. Okay.
One National League pitcher.
God, and he goes first,
has
too.
Higher.
Real quick, though. It's like these questions are becoming predictable. It's like, you know, like, they're false just so we can go through the whole guessing thing.
It didn't have to be false. It happened to be false.
I mean, a lot of these are not true.
It's between two guys.
Well, I hope you say the wrong one.
I'm going to go with my boy. Might not be right, but okay. I'm going to say Jacob DeGrom.
Guy's on fire.
Oh, my God.
Jacob DeGrom, 12.39 Ks per 9. Oh. Robbie Ray, 11.71.
Oh, my goodness. That is now 7 points for Matt Modica.
Look at his... He's got
three
his
for Scott.
His computer's closed. Your guy is all open.
Three for Greg. Four for Corey. Question number six is Scott Angles.
Julius Thomas had more touchdowns than Greg Olsen.
Scott, whenever you're ready.
True.
Julius Thomas had more touchdowns than Greg Olsen. I'm going to say this is true.
True.
It's so ridiculous that it is true.
It is, in fact, true. Greg Olsen had 3 touchdowns last year.
He did. So that's 8 for
the
Matt.
The whole offense struggled last
8 for Matt, 5 for Corey, 4 apiece for Scotty and myself. Question number 7, Corey Parson.
That one was true, by the way, Scott. Question 7.
Yeah, because it was like either or.
Lance McCullers has an XFIP lower than Clayton Kershaw.
God, you would ask me a question about a damn XFIP. Lance
just breaking it down.
Lance
ago.
McCullers' XFIP is lower than Clayton Kershaw's. True.
True.
This is true.
False.
True.
Yeah.
What a shock. Not predictable.
What is
Now Scott getting mad at the questions because he got it wrong. You see how Scott get down?
You guys want to score
update? Last month,
Mike Florio.
Matt Modica, 9.
Yes.
Corey Parson, 6.
Yes.
Greg Sussman, 5.
Yes.
And all the way in last, the King with 4.
I'm just like the Buffalo Bills.
Question number 8,
that's
please.
That's a good one, Scott.
According to Snapple Facts, Dalmatians are born with spots.
I don't even like dogs like that.
I will. I'll say false.
I'll say false as well.
False.
According to Snapple Facts, Dalmatians. See, I learned about something like this. See, that's not an acquired trait. I think that's a hereditary trait, the spots.
Okay.
I don't think you just get them. I think you're born with them.
Okay.
I'm going to say that that is true.
I like the logic, but it's false.
Mm.
They're born pure white, apparently.
There you go. Oh. So, as we head
good for them.
As we head to the final break of the program.
They made it.
It is 10 points for Matt Modica, 6 for Corey Parson, 6 for Greg Sussman, 5 for the King, Scott Angle. We have 2 questions left. Can anyone catch Matt Modica, who is just on fire this morning? You're going to have to stick around to find out.
It's going
to
be tough.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, simulcasting on the Fantasy Sports Network. We return to wrap up the show and send you into the OGs. Next! Final few minutes here with Matt at 10. Myself and Corey at 6, Scotty at 5. Do I have that correct?
It looks like we're playing for second place now.
Do I have that correct, Mike Florio?
It's 10, 6, 6, and 5.
A simple yes would have sufficed. Yeah. All right, question number 9.
For Matt Modica.
For Matt Modica.
Jay Ajayi had more than 400 of his rushing yards against the Buffalo Bills.
That is correct. He had 420 yards.
It's true, Scott.
True. I think he had about 700.
It's true.
It's 420. Matt just said it. So true.
No, I mean, we talked about this on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm the one who mentioned that yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Game's
yeah.
over, so I mean, I'll just give out the answer.
He did it 400.
I hope this last one is false.
As a matter of fact, half of his yards came in 3 games.
Yeah, Flory, you might want to listen to the show before you do your research.
Well, I no longer produce it on Thursdays, so.
Yeah. We have Chris the Animal Bavona producing it.
All right, question number 10. The final one goes to Scott the King Angle.
Francisco Lindor leads all middle infielders in runs scored.
That's a tough question, son of a gun.
True. Corey?
Francisco Lindor leads all middle infielders in runs scored. False.
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 Wow, everyone said false.
Except Scott, who said true.
Who owns Lindor in GST? doesn't even know about his own play. False.
It still doesn't mean I'm going to take Johnny Cueto for him being lowball crap
King
offers
Angle
from you.
Has been eliminated. How many people have more?
There's two middle infielders that have more.
He did three, so like that. All right, Corey.
Zach Cozart.
No.
Good guess.
Rough a shot.
Oh, Jose Altuve.
Gene Segura.
No.
Oh, he got one wrong.
Oh, finally. Let's go. Damn. We're two. Oh, Scotty. I'm sorry. Scotty.
I didn't even think of anybody. I thought I was out.
You were.
Chris Owings.
No.
That was a good guess, though. Who played middle in second? Derek Jeter.
Close, but no.
Starlin Castro.
Oh, that's a good one, Greg.
Correct.
Nice job by Susmania.
You kind of helped Greg there, though. You said close, know, but
and,
no.
And then he went. Yeah. Yeah, I did help you, son of a gun.
No, Florio did.
Oh, I didn't even mean it in that sense. I was just kind of making fun of the Jeter guess.
Corey Seager?
No.
I was going to say Corey Seager. Damn.
Well, you'd have been wrong. So you should be happy you didn't say Corey Seager.
I don't know. I don't have a guess.
You can't guess anything. You can't guess a single minute.
Say Freddy Galvis.
Freddy Galvis.
Cesar Hernandez. Jose Reyes.
Cesar Hernandez.
There you go.
Cesar Hernandez, correct.
How about
See,
that?
There you go.
So I got you on the right path.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which means, officially, your winner. And
new
is Mike Lyon, champion, CTM Baseball's Matt Logicap. Congratulations, Matt.
It's good to be back.
Oh, good to be back on your throne?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to try to take you down next Friday. Corey Parson.
Yo.
What's up next in the Old School Fantasy Hour?
We can have a little fun on the Old School Fantasy Hour. Me, Matt Medica, and George Kurtz. We are going to fill out our All-Star ballot, our Major League Baseball game All-Star ballot, and, talk some fantasy around that, kick it a little bit, maybe get into some news and notes from the NFL.
There you go.
I think that's a good idea, Greg.
I think it's a great
idea. I think the people will like
I'm
that.
I'm excited to listen to it.
Thank you.
The final piece of information here. The New York Knicks are interested in Pablo Prigioni.
Again?
As an assistant coach.
Oh, okay. It's needing to be the head coach.
As long as, let me be the general manager.
Yeah, sell a team to him.
What are you going on this weekend,
New York Knicks?
I'll be going to mom's celebrating the birthday Monday. I turned 44.
Oh, nice pretty job. Celebration Monday for
Matt,
you.
No doubt.
Drinks on Corey. Scotty.
Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour live 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow here with Dr. A to talk about Aric Almirola's injury, and I'll probably go to the movies.
Not much going on this weekend, laying low.
For me, Relay for Life, so that'll be fun. Good charity stuff. For Matt Modica, for Scott Angle, for Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sossman. Thank you so much for listening to Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The OGs are next. Have a fantastic weekend, and see you back here Monday morning, 8 a.m. for the Roto Experts. Bye-bye.